These two. It's been my name for 50 years from when I walked into the Jockey Academy.
Because officially you're Juan Carlos, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. My granddad came from Argentina, and yeah, all our names have, you know, South American, Spanish kind of name attached to it, yeah.
Well, for those that don't know, just how long ago were you riding in South Africa? Tell us a bit about your career before we talk about racing in this current climate.
Yeah, I started my apprenticeship in 1970 at the Jockey Academy at Marion Hill Pinetown, and I was with my senior was Michael Roberts, who ended up a European champion, 11-time South African champion. I rode until 92. The highlight of my career was the South African Derby on Debonair Duke. And, yeah, look, I was a stable jockey. We were a family business at the time and in the era. We were very successful in as a little betting yard. And, yeah, and then we had the air disaster in 1988 where we lost 13 jockeys. And when we looked to see how jockeys were covered in that, it was quite low. It was the best we could get at the time. And hence, we were busy putting together the SA Jockey Association at the time, because we were all provincial. And it was a big eye-opener to realize how badly jockeys were off at that time, locally and internationally, you know. And so we got the SA Jockey Association, and we've done heavy negotiations ever since then to have got good benefits put in place for all jockeys. We put up a pension provident fund for jockeys. We've got them good insurance. In South Africa, you need a good medical aid because our infrastructure is not the best for healthcare. So we're on a private medical aid. And, yeah, we earn a fair riding fee, which, of course, won't go up this year with the consequences of the virus. But on the contrary, yeah, it's been a journey. I've given advice to a lot of different associations around the world. They've all been a bit taken aback to realize what we have in place. And but it's been a hard battle, and without the support of the members, would never have been. You know, it's not, you can never do these things as a one-man band. You have to have the support of your membership, you know. And we're holding tight that there's not too many changes coming with the economic problems of the world and South Africa.
Well, I know COVID, the economy's a somber topic. You just mentioned something that I would like to just discuss, because it just briefly reminded me of something you mentioned years ago, but we should pay respect to it, because you mentioned the air disaster. For those that don't know, this was back, what, in 1988, and I was reading a bit more about it as you were talking there, that a terrible situation with circumstances where a number of riders, because of a postponement of the meeting, they took a charter flight, which sadly crashed, and a horrific situation with so many people losing their lives. Do you recall your where you were that day?
Yes, actually, we had the yearling sales going on at Germiston Gossip Park, and I was setting up paddocks and that for the new babies coming in for my brother for the family stable. And there was no cell phones, of course, those days. And I got home very exhausted, had a small something to eat. The next day was racing, Wednesday, in Johannesburg. And I took my phone off the hook. And about 12 o'clock that night, I heard a big knocking on the door. And it was my older brother, the trainer, who'd come from the yearling sales and heard about the bad news. And I quickly put the phone down, you know, they clicked back on. And then the general manager of Newmarket Turf Club, the phone immediately rang. Anyway, my brother and my wife walked through to the TV. And the next minute I heard sobbing, and I'm speaking to the general manager saying, yes, we should cancel racing because the yearling sales are on, and not realizing there was an air disaster. Like I totally, you know, didn't read it right. And he said, no, look, there's been a tragedy. And well, I just froze. I just couldn't believe. And I went down into the lounge where my brother and my wife were watching the scroll of names that were possibly on the plane. And apparently my name came up because we had family friends at a casino, an out-country casino. And they were in tears, and oh God, they saw my name, and it was like a nightmare. Of my God, it's still a nightmare to this day. It's just like not real, because so many of the guys were like part of the committee, and there were guys who were my apprentices, Danny Lombard, Benny DeVette. You know, they were under my wing as apprentice jockeys, and yeah, it left a huge void in South African racing in the riding ranks.
Yes. Important to mention it again as you brought that up. As you say, 24 people losing their lives involved in the racing industry in that charter flight way back in 1988. We're chatting to Tex Lorena. He's the from the South African Jockeys Association. We just thought we might check in now. Tex, it is a bit of a somber topic, but we face serious times. I spoke to Peter Gibson the other month from South African Racing, and that was when there was the suspension of racing. It has now returned. COVID is sadly recurring. In fact, I was reading some terrible figures in case diagnosis in South Africa. You've gone past the UK, and it's not looking good at the moment. Where does South African racing stand as we speak?
Look, we took a big knock in stake monies. You know, what we were racing for 100 before, we were racing for 60,000. So that's a huge knock. The chaps are restricted to where they can ride, which we believe should have been, we should have been consulted, but we've got new leadership and management and in the NHA, which is similar to your jockey club there. And yeah, so it is tough times. We've been echoing the guys have to tighten their belts and just, you know, basically you're looking to get sufficient rides for the bread and butter money, because the riding fee is fair and stake money's dropped. But we've had some of our big races. The group ones have been run. We've got the Durban in July that will be run on the 25th of July. It's normally the first Saturday in July month. That will be, of course, run as a ghost meeting with nobody there, only the riders and the trainers, and hopefully the owners will be allowed on course for that big meeting. Yeah, so look, we're hanging in there like the rest of the world, and we've got to just try and turn the negatives into positives. As far as COVID goes and the so-called outbreak and that, look, our personal experiences, we had a couple of jockeys went and they came back positive, and the next week they were negative. I've had family, and you know, it only happens to other people. It doesn't happen to you. And then, boom, a family member, my father-in-law got it, and he's 86, and they're isolating, put him in quarantine, and he went 10 days later for a test, and he was clear, and it didn't affect him. So I think it's the actual dose that gets into the system that might affect. You might get a lot of positives around the world, never mind South Africa. And I follow this quite closely because I'm very in touch with a doctor, our course doctor, who's very well-read and is a very open mind and uses a lot of common sense in making decisions, which I think the world at large, to me, seems to be floundering, you know, when it comes to common sense, because, you know, in South Africa, we're in our winter now, especially in Johannesburg, and the virus thrives on the cold. And, yes, numbers will go up. The more you test, you're going to have people that, but maybe a minuscule amount in your nostril when you went for the test or in the back of your throat and you cleared it. And do you ever go back for the second one to level the playing field to say, well, it's, you know, the person didn't get sick from it, you know? So the statistics, I think, are not realistic in my personal opinion. We'll never have enough testing kits, especially in South Africa, to get a good guideline of where we are with it. We ask a lot of questions, and the average South African is 25 years old. So, yes, old people or people with ailments like sugar, diabetes 2 or heart problems, with the abnormal bad dose of flu or the COVID, it's going to knock you and it's going to be risky for you. And, you know, that's just my, like I said, my personal opinion. And I only watch 1 hour of it. I don't want to get it to get on top of me. But I certainly, you know, the way I've sort of read, like I say, my little opinion, and I talk a lot to my doctor, is I seem to think there's some kind of, I don't know, it's a harsher flu than normal. I suppose when it happens close to you in a bad case of COVID hits a friend or a family member, you know, one gets the jitters, you know?
Mm. We're chatting to Tex Lorena, very upfront. I like his confidence. When I spoke to Peter Gibson, I keep bringing up Pete because it was a long chat we had to him about his experiences South African racing. He did mention that one of the stumbling blocks that South Africa had was the president, really, for want of a better term, wasn't a racing person. He didn't see racing as important as maybe, I mean, in this country it's valued so highly, other nations across the world. It was a bit of a stumbling block that racing official had to get over to get him to give the all clear. Are you worried that he would not pull the rug out from under your feet again? You've gone through a lot to get back racing again. Are you confident the president has your backing?
Yes, look, I don't think we can turn back. South Africa as a country can't afford to turn back, actually. Like the rest of the world, all that happens with this type of thing, sadly, is that the poor get poorer and the hungry get hungrier. So as far as turning back, I don't think he had managed that, although he did stop liquor sales all of a sudden on Sunday night. He blocked that again because he said people are misbehaving and, taking unnecessary beds in the hospitals. That was according to their statistics. I don't think he'll come and mess around with racing is because we're doing it well. We've got good protocols in. And, at the end of the day, you're dealing with thousands of jobs, hundreds of thousands of jobs. Because, in South Africa, we employ more people. It's like three horses. One chap looks after three horses. We're back home with you guys. One guy maybe looks after five or six, So it's a huge employment thing. In our economy is from the stud farms to training of horses and in equine in general, we employ a lot of people.
We're chatting to Tex Lorena, Juan Carlos Lorena, but a long-time jockey, now in charge of the Jockeys Association. His son is a rider. His nephew is in Australia, of course, in Sydney. Hey, Tex, so what is happening now with riders in terms of protocol and keeping the industry going in terms of what they have to do? Across the world, it's a changing environment now. So in terms of South African riders and meetings that take place day to day, what are some of the major changes?
Well, the major change was disappointing to us was the travel. We're not big like Australia is huge with your tracks and that. I mean, we've got about, I think it's Cape Town, we've got two tracks, which is 1,000 miles from Johannesburg. In Johannesburg, we've got two tracks. In Natal, Durban, we've got two tracks. And in Port Elizabeth, we've got one. So I think that's about 8 or 9. We used to have double that before. And the thing is, I believe the authorities didn't communicate well when it came to the travel of jockeys. We're the only ones that have been blocked. And I'd like to say, and I'll put my neck out, we're about the healthiest out of all racing on the contrary when it comes to good health. It's because with weight being a discipline, the way of eating, and they did the positive thing is they just put the weights up, which was a help, so nobody had to really, knock their immune system with their eating habits. But jockeys are well educated of keep the body strong. You have to because you're a super athlete. You've got to be ultra fit. And so when it came to the traveling, we were very disappointed that they didn't at least say, listen, speak to us and say, well, we've got to watch the traveling. And all we wanted to do was be able to go from our province, like down to Natal for their season, two or three of the meetings. That's all. And it wasn't allowed. And that just, other than everything else is good, the protocols are good, the social distancing, sanitizer, wash your hands, you fill in the register. If you've got any symptoms, they take your temperature. And look, other than that, it's going very good. But
and the riders, masks are mandatory, are they? Or
yes, look, you use the mask, but you can drop it to your chin when you're riding in the race, so you can breathe properly. Yeah.
And your son Gavin is riding?
Yes.
How's he faring?
He got a Group 1 2 weeks. He's doing nicely, He had a lovely win yesterday. He's out of province, so it's not like you get the same support, but he's had a couple of winners when he's only been down there 2 weeks. And he won the Group 1 on Celtic Sea on the big race day at Scottsville. I got up in an unbelievable finish. I mean, she couldn't win at the 200. She couldn't win at the 50. And somehow between her and him, they got to the line at the right time. So it was a blessing in disguise how they got that one. But so there's two Group 1s in the row for the,
And your nephew's in Sydney. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, look, Brandon is hugely talented. He is at the Borg Stable, Bjorn Borg Stable, and I think in Australia the jocks had to choose which three tracks they're going to ride at, and I don't think he didn't get it so right. So it hasn't been too strong for him what I've picked up, as far as the wins go. But he's hugely talented, and hopefully in the future we'll see him with an open license, because he deserves to be out there, in the open market he's got one day.
Did you ever get a chance to maybe come to Australia?
I was there when Gay Waterhouse won the Melbourne Cup. So it's a year when I Google, I'll remember that. Just Gay Waterhouse Melbourne Cup. Boom.
Just watching on, you never got a chance to come and ride?
No. We had an Aussie jockey ride there for years. George Davies and his son rode there, but Chad Davies. We've had Australian jockeys out there for the international. Hugh Bowman. Damien Oliver was my first guest of the top jockeys that I brought out in 2008 with Frankie Dettori, Mick Kanane. I brought out a real humdinger team to take on South Africa. And yeah, never been able to ride, but certainly went to quite a bit of racing. Your tracks are very fast. I was questioned by somebody doing a survey about the injuries in Australia and all that they have quite a high level of injuries. And me watching the Australian racing, because it's global today racing, I found that they race very tight and at times at a slow pace, They pull it up a bit slow. And to me, when you're riding and you're on a tight, normally would be a fast circuit like the Americans make use of their pace on those tight tracks. I see the Australians pull it up a bit, they slow the pace down a bit. And when you're hard on the bit and things go wrong and a jockey goes down, you go down hard. So that's what I've picked up in Australia, that, when they asked me, and I filled in the questionnaire, I would have thought there would have been more speed on in the races, Talking about the miles and the 14-mile 1800s.
Just finally, Tex, we've got a great Jockeys Association, what they do here with the National Jockeys Trust. I spoke to Lisa from the National Jockeys Trust in the UK. I was blown away with what racing provides there for former riders and those in the industry. They've got, two or three of their own hospitals. They've got their own medical facilities. It's quite amazing, the investment over there. South Africa certainly has a vast difference between the haves and the have-nots. Your association and what you can do for former riders or injured riders, that must be a huge challenge in your country.
Well, the fortunate thing is, and we've been very, very blessed, that we've managed to get very good insurance since 95. And it covers your own or similar occupation. And a lot of my guys that got injured, not as bad as some of your guys, but they couldn't continue their job, their occupation. They got very, very good payouts. And they've been able to sustain their life and to carry on in other things. The Pension Provident Fund, which was also an excellent support saving for your retirement. When you're going along, if you hit hard times like the virus now, you're allowed to dip into it one bite only and to help you along. And then, of course, our private medical cover. If you were injured in a racing fall, that it was, of the bad that you can't get back into occupation, we keep you on the private medical. So jockeys are, in a way, we've been fortunate to be able to have purchased good cover to sustain anybody that's been injured, especially very badly, from a race form that, can't carry on.
Well, that's great to hear. Terrific stuff indeed. I will certainly keep in touch, Tex. We might catch up with your son down the track as well. But great to have a chat to you on air for our listeners in Australia, and keep up the good work and really interesting topics we've spoken about. Some quite somber and serious, but really like your positivity. All the best, Tex.
Thank you very much, Andrew. And you go well, and I look forward to catching up with you another time.